Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Fightin' Words on the Fightin' Words News Network. Fightin' Words is brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services by Dr. Kathleen Carroll, a board-certified psychiatrist in private practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll in services at the VA Hospital and the Bay Pines VA Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of children 6 to 13 and the treatment of adults. She's also an all-time triathlete. So if you have any problems breaking through the next levels of athletics, or if you're having any problems with life, please don't take it out on a neighbor. Please don't take it out on a police officer or a firefighter or anyone else. Please seek professional help. If you need anything in the Florida area, give her a call at area code 813-689-2466. And you can visit her offices at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue in Brandon, Florida. Well, guys, it's been a great week. Armstead, it's great to have you back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Some real interesting weekend this last weekend for MMA. Do you want to start?
Sure. Let's see. Do we want to? What do we want to talk about? Daniel Cormier, Stipe Miocic?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that was. I'm a bit. I mean, of course, all thoughts and prayers go to Daniel Cormier. He recently just lost his father to cancer, and I know that it had to have been something that was. You know, Daniel Cormier is a guy who's never given any excuses for a loss, but I know that's something that he had to have been thinking about because who knows how long his father had been deteriorating. But in that fight, I really just felt like he didn't do what he's the best at doing, and he really seemed to get away from his wrestling. I mean, that's how he dominates fights, is by grabbing a hold of you and keeping you down and just pounding you. And then if he can get you in a rear naked choke, he gets you in a rear naked choke. But he was really dominating that fight early, and Stipe fought a great fight. I mean, he really did. He hung in there. He took some big shots, and he just said, you know, I think he's going to wear down. I think I can just keep wearing him down, because Stipe came in a lot lighter. He came in about, I think he came in about 15 pounds lighter than he did from their first fight. And obviously the long layoff did him well. It gave him a chance to heal up, spent a lot of time with his family, and just went back to training. And I can't say I was shocked. I really thought Cormier was going to win. I still think in the end Cormier is a better all-around fighter. And Stipe just weathered him, and then just started to get his legs under him, and just started to throw hands and just put him away. So I know Cormier has to be a bit disappointed in himself that he got away from his own game plan. His coaches were telling him, you know, wrestle, and he just didn't do it. And I think even though what happens in the ring is always up to the fighters, the coaches see things that fighters can't see, and I'm wondering if I know he's got to be kicking himself, and I doubt that he's going to actually retire after this fight.
Yeah, the post-fight interview with him, he said that he regretted not listening to his corner. And
absolutely,
that,
yeah.
He would never make that mistake again. Yeah.
Yes. And that statement that I'll never make that mistake again really alludes to the fact that he's not going to go out like this. And I personally am not always a fan of the trilogy fight, but I would love to see them do it one more time. I totally would. I think it would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bob?
Okay. I 100% agree. Last week we talked about it, and it's no secret I'm not a huge DC fan. So you know, it was all about the new, you know, champion stuff. But you know, like I said last week, DC didn't come in as he looked chunkier than ever. All this other stuff. He didn't listen to his corner. And you guys are exactly right. Man, I've been there and done that. I actually would rather be in the ring than be a corner man or a coach, because you're just screaming stuff that you see that they're not seeing, okay? And right, DC is a phenomenal wrestler and should have stuck to his game plan. He was actually just tough. Now knowing what we know in hindsight, that his father was on his way out, okay? My first loss to Josh Barnett, same thing. I'd lost my grandmother, and I was very – hadn't trained for about 4 or 5 weeks, but took the fight. I was like, okay, I got some aggression. I want to get that out. This is back in the day when UFC was first starting. So underneath Matt Hume, it was still called Pancras or Pancrase, you know, Pancration. All that kind of stuff. So Matt Hume had the Pancration. We did that in Kirkland, Washington. And, you know, I couldn't close fist hit at all. I could only, you know, open hand strike and kick to the head. And I went in there strictly on grief. You know what I mean? I thought that was a way to vent that out. And it wasn't. Josh just shot in and took me down. But going back to now knowing what we know about his father passing, man, that weighs a heavy burden. And now I regret some of the things that I said last week. You know, I don't want to – I'm always getting on the showboaters, and I was kind of showboat. You know what I mean? So I got to check it where it's due. But, yeah, so I would love I will pay money to see a three-peat. With Cormier saying those things, you're exactly right. I don't think, you know, last week I said he'd probably retire. Now I think he comes back, he beats him, and goes out on top, and then retires.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's
completely.
Kind of my fourth best. Yeah.
Because
he has all the tools to go out on top.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you something. Last week you were very high on Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal. Do you think that now Dana White has come out in the trades and said he's not interested in that. He does want to see that. The people from pay-per-view think that would be a very big fight for them. What's your thoughts on that, Bob?
I think I would like to see some jits out of that. I mean, they both have some very unusual striking, but they're both masters on the ground. I mean, Diaz is a known black belt. I think Masvidal is as well. I can't be sure on that. But both, you know, good. I think it would be a great fight. Dana, again, anytime Dana says something to me, I go with the exact opposite. I think Dana's fishing all the time. He's just putting that out there just to see what the crowd says. He's a money man, and everyone's got to remember that. He's there to make money. I mean, you know, us MMA guys are not making what the boxers do, but Dana and those guys, I mean, now Dana and the Fertitta brothers are out of it. They sold out, but they are straight Don King and everybody. You know, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
We're
fighting for pennies, and these guys are making, you know, they got the Reebok deal, the pay-per-view. I mean, stop it. Stop it, you know?
Hey guys,
yeah,
we're joined by
Dr. Chris.
Dr. Chris.
Yo.
Just letting everybody know we're joined by you today, Chris. Go ahead,
hey,
finish
Chris.
What you were saying there, Armstead.
I was saying I agree. I definitely think that Dana White is going to say no to that fight initially to kind of see is there going to be a strong backlash because. You know, I think especially at this point in Nate Diaz's career, he's looking for money fights. I'm not even sure how interested he is in getting a title shot. I think he's totally looking for which fights are going to be the most exciting for him and they're going to make him the most money. And I applaud him for that. I really do. I applaud him for that. And I think if the buzz grows and, you know, Masvidal, who does want a title shot but also knows that he's got to probably wait a little while and it would be good to get him to get another fight. And Masvidal wants to make that money too. So I agree with Bob completely. I think Dana is always fishing, and I can see this fight happening before the year's out.
Hey, Chris, let me change the subject here to boxing. Sergey Kovalev got one hell of a scare this week when he was fighting Anthony Yardy. He got taken down in the fourth round, but he did come back and finally get enough points to win. Did you happen to see the fight? And if you did, what was your thoughts on it?
I didn't see it, but it didn't surprise me when I heard about what happened. You're talking about Kovalev, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think he's done. I mean, you know, you make a few bucks here and there, but he's not the fighter that came up 4 or 5 years ago. I really think that Buster Cole took a lot out of him, exposed him.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah.
I don't think that he's the guy he once was. He used to scare people. Not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But still a good fighter. Still, you know, he's in there. It could be a battle. He's in there to fight. But what happened to him? What happened around the fourth round? What happened, Frank? He get knocked down?
He got knocked down and... Oh yeah, he got knocked down and he was out, obviously shaken, and but did get up before the eight count. Did wipe his gloves off, and then he started to go to work. But my thought is he wasn't prepared for what he was getting from Yardy. He was prepared to go in there and just knock him out, but he really got his bell rung a couple times. In the second round, he got a couple good shots, and then Yardy got him down on the fourth, and then. He got a TKO in the eighth to take Yardy out.
But he's not the same guy, Frank.
No.
He's not the same guy.
Today he came out and said that he would much rather be fishing and hunting with his boys than he would be boxing. So it
sounds like he's ready for
retirement.
Yeah, he doesn't want to play.
Yeah.
He made a few dollars. But he got enough. He probably put it away for some way. He had some big money fights. But, you know, when you guys were talking about Miocic and Cormier, Miocic's one big, tough guy. He's a natural 250-pounder. He's not a big weightlifter. He didn't build himself a great body. He just grew that big. And, man, I was shocked that Cormier beat him the first time. I couldn't see anybody beating Miocic. And then, you know, I think it would be a good third fight. You know, he got one and one. He deserved it. He's been around a long time. He's a hell of a lot smaller than Miocic. And, you know, he's lost a lot of his talent and a lot of his speed and movement. But he still gave him a hell of a fight. So, but I think Miocic's got his number now. I think he knows how to beat him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Cormier's going to do it anymore. You know. But getting back to Kovalev, I hope he retires. He's not even, you know, there's a lot of football that he needs out there.
Well, I'd like to see for him to keep, Dr. Chris, I'd like to see him take as much time as he wants, talk with his wife, do a nice long training camp and commit before he comes back, and really make sure he wants to do that. And then I think he has all the tools to beat the bigger guy. He's done it many times. When you're getting older, you know, it becomes more of a pride thing. I mean, it's a younger guy's sport. You know, 40 hurts.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, but Stipe's not young. I believe he's 37. And he is taller significantly than Cormier. But Cormier came in 6-7 pounds heavier than Miocic. And he did both fights. So,
well,
you know,
he must have
been
fat. I didn't see the fight.
But Cormier came in looking a little bit softer than he did the first fight, because the first fight had that barrel. He's still barrel chested and has that gut. But he looked like an offensive lineman in the first fight. The second fight he didn't have that same kind of like he can still just run you over look. I think that's what the difference was for me. Where Miocic did come in looking a bit more chiseled than he had previously.
I mean, it'd be a good fight to see. I'd like to see it again. I always got a kick out of that guy, Miocic, because my friend lived in that same neighborhood up there. And I told him, I said, one of the guys you used to play high school football against, he's boxing now. He's in the MMA now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, his name's Miocic. You got to watch him. He's one of them big, tough, natural athletes that you've been talking about all your life, you know. He's always said that there's tough guys in Cleveland, man. He said, get them big Slovaks and Ukrainians, and he said, they're tough. He said, we used to play a team like that. We were heavily favored, but he said, we went to the emergency room after the game, and they went out and had a good time. He said, they just, even though we beat the hell out of them score-wise, we got beat up. I always kid him about that, you know. Miocic, but I like the guy. I think he's going to take the third match. We'll see.
Hey,
guys talking about getting older and getting tired of the routine. Look what Andrew Luck did. I mean,
he's 29 years old, $53 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, walked away from it.
They paid him the whole. Yeah, they paid him the whole $53 million for his year's salary. And he just won.
Yeah. Smart fella. Gave him all that money.
Yep.
Jesus,
a lot of it was signing bonus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Bob, let me ask you about C.B. Dow. Was it Dalloway and his suspension for 2 years? Do you have any idea on what was going on there, or Armstead?
Dalloway, no. Probably Armstead. I'm not sure exactly what we're talking about yet.
Yeah, C.B. Dalloway has steroids, you know, but he had multiple banned substances in his system. They didn't release the list yet, but he had, you know, growth hormone and all kinds of different different drugs that end in Z-O-L-E and O-N-E and yeah, and this was even an out-of-competition sample, and I believe it happened a little while ago. But, you know, he's 36, and he really hasn't been in the picture in the middleweight and in the light heavyweight division in a while. So it has that sense of a guy who may have lost a step and maybe trying to kind of get back into it a little bit, and knows that, you know, he's probably done. I mean, he had a fight against Hector Lombard a little over a year ago, and he took two really bad punches at the end of the first round after the bell after the bell went, and so he won the fight by DQ. But he, you know, those were bad shots, and you could see that he had kind of like he had turned off. You know, the bell rang, and that kind of like that tightness sort of backed up a little bit, and then he got hit twice, and then of course, and then he had a fight almost a year ago in 2018, and you know, he really has to come back from that. So I'm not sure if he's going to come back from this as well, considering he is 36 and, you know, 17-9, good record. But if he does come back, I can see him coming back with probably a couple of paychecks, maybe getting like a send off because he's a respected fighter. He's been around the UFC and he fought in UFC 92. So he's been around for a while. So you got to respect his
head. Yeah. Todd, you were going to do something on Henry. Let's kill this name.
Kyoto, yeah. So
Kyoto, yeah.
Yeah. He apparently came on Twitter, taking smack talk to a whole new level, making skits, you know, diapers on his belts, you know, three. I mean, you can't take anything from him for what he's done for victories. You know what I mean? He's beat some top guys, but you know, now he's on Twitter, YouTube. I don't do that stuff, so I don't know what that is. But you know, tweeting, he's got his belts in diapers, and one of them is pooped. You know what I mean? And you know, he's got a whole little, you know, story talking himself out there, and then pretty much calls out Dominic Cruz as being a warm-up fight, you know, just trying to play the ego. Cruz is smarter than that, but again, you know, everyone loves the bad guy, good guy setup. So maybe the guy's just trying to reach for someone to fight him. I don't know. I think it's comical. It's nothing I've ever seen before, but here we go with social media. You know, good for you.
Hey, Chris, we've got Povetkin versus your favorite player, Yui Fury. And then the undercard on that is Vasily Lomachenko versus Luke Campbell. So I guess it's a two-part question here. One, what do you think of the Povetkin Fury fight? We'll get that out of the way.
Wait a minute. Did you say Lomachenko's fighting again?
Yeah, this Saturday. On the undercard.
He just fought
Fury
a couple weeks ago, didn't he?
Yep. Month and a half ago.
Wow, it seemed like yesterday he just fought.
Yeah, he's taking on Luke Campbell.
That's going to be a hell of a fight.
That's not going to be an easy fight. Yeah.
No, he's
a full 10-rounder.
No, it's taken a lot of effort for Lomachenko to win these fights. These guys, that tall guy that he fought last time gave him a pretty hard time. And, you know, he gave him a body beating and you know, took a stall. Took him about 8 or 9 rounds to knock that guy down. And he was a pretty tough opponent. And you could see where long-armed guys give him trouble. Now Camels are taller than him. How much taller? Do you know?
He's about two inches tall.
Around, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting. He's always a great guy to watch. And what was the first fight, Frank? What was the first
it's
one?
On the, they're on the undercard of the Povetkin and Fury fight.
Who?
Povetkin. And Fury.
Oh, my man.
Yes,
My man couldn't get Canelo. So, you know, what the hell is he going to do? He's got to make a living. He don't have enough money in the bank yet, I guess, you know. And he's probably disappointed that he had to take you know, somebody he really doesn't want to fight. You know, because he could get himself up the other. He could get himself up, you know. It'll be more interesting. It'll be easier for him to train. I don't think like Austin will be at his best coming up. I don't think he'll be at his best. He's not going to be in a limelight like he was. He's not, you know. Now I'm waiting for that new trainer to show up and bring that left hook of the body back. But so far, I haven't seen it. And that's what I'd like to see. But, you know, what are you going to do? You can't feel sorry for a guy making over $1 million. You know, he didn't get what he wanted, but, you know, what the hell? But I still like the guy. I still think he's all-time best. So it'll be interesting to see that, too.
Armstrong, how about Vitaly Minnikov against Timothy Johnson at Bellator 225? Did you happen to catch that?
I didn't. But the Bellator card, though, was pretty exciting from what I heard about the card. I didn't catch it, but there was some hands being thrown in that card, and it got pretty good ratings from DAZN. So I think this is good overall, though, for MMA. I think any competition that the UFC can have is good, and Bellator needed an exciting card. They didn't really have many of their more popular names that they carry on this particular card.
Right.
You had your final three fights. You had three knockouts, and then you had two submissions. You can't really complain at that from MMA as far as excitement standpoint.
Nope.
You didn't have a bunch of decisions, and in fact, the whole card basically was full of finishes. And MMA is a sport that loves finishes, so this is definitely. I did not watch this card, but this is something that you want to keep in the background and probably check out down the line when it becomes available for free.
Bob?
Yeah, I agree. You know, there's talk about that where Krasnov, I can't pronounce his last name. He says he's still suffering from Mitrione's nut shot. So I didn't see the fight, but you know, apparently, you know, there's a lot of you know, blows thrown, and again, I agree with Armstead. Any competition for the UFC is phenomenal. You know what I mean? We've got to get it shaken up, get some more money going towards the fighters versus the production. Want to throw in there, you know, coming up in a couple of weeks. My boy Khabib, I say that just because I'm on the Khabib bandwagon, but he'll be fighting soon. And I like that because it's an afternoon fight, so it's got to be out of the country. And then just so because I wanted to, you know, trademark with fight words, you know, our boy Ben Askren that's been Askren for it, he's got one coming up October 26th against Damian Maia. All right, so. That's kind of the future of MMA, what we got going right now.
You know what? It's a matter of time till they catch up. Those poor guys fight. I still don't think they get enough money. I still don't think either one of those groups get enough money. But those guys, they have to heal up, and they can't fight every week. Lomachenko is fighting twice, four times a year, five times a year. Those guys are going to have a hell of a time fighting, you know, four, five, six, seven times a year. They probably do it anyway and get the hell beat out of them.
Sure.
But I feel bad for them.
Hey, guys, we're joined by Zito. I want to let everybody know that Zito is in the house.
Hey, Zito.
Hey, how are we going?
Talking to, we were talking about the Kovalev fight, and we were also talking about we did a lot of Cormier, and one of the questions I'd ask Chris was that Vasily Lomachenko is fighting again this week with Luke Campbell, and we know it's going to be a scrappy fight. What's your thoughts on that one?
I actually think that it's going to be a pretty good fight, and it's going to be a good I don't want to say litmus test, because Lomachenko, so he's basically proven, but it's going to be a gauge. Luke Campbell is a very, very credible fighter. He's championship level. He's going to be longer than Lomachenko. And size wise, I mean, he's going to be taller and longer. Size wise, maybe, you know, comparable. Luke Campbell's not a one punch knockout guy, but he is a master boxer. And that is going to be the interesting part of their matchup. And as I said, Luke Campbell, I may have alluded to this a few shows before. Luke Campbell can do some of the things that Pedraza did against Lomachenko to nullify a lot of things, but he's better. Luke Campbell, he's better. He's busy. He's a busy guy, so it's going to be interesting to see if Lomachenko could shell him up and frustrate him like he has so many of his other opponents that couldn't really find him or didn't want to let their punches out for fear of retribution. I think that Luke Campbell is a guy that Lomachenko is going to have to fight through a lot of what he does. One thing, though, is Lomachenko is very defensive. He's a defensive his defense, his transitions are beautiful. His transitions between defense and offense. And many fighters don't have that sort of aspect to where they'll look only for their offense or they'll only use their defense. Lomachenko, he can blend those in spectacularly. Luke Campbell's not quite as fluid as Lomachenko as far as that goes. He'll get caught with his hands out because he's so busy. But the guy is a master of distance for the most part. He can work himself, and he's not a bad inside fighter either. So he's going to present some things to Lomachenko that Vasily's going to have to work through.
Hey, let me ask you, in the trades today, this week, there was an announcement that Sergey Kovalev is going to take on Triple G on October 5th. What's your thought on that one?
I thought they were in negotiations with Canelo Alvarez. But
yeah, Alvarez backed out of it.
Oh, okay. I don't know why, but I'm going to say this. It would be, I'm gonna be honest, it would be less interesting for him fighting Triple G than it would Canelo. One thing is this: that's hard for me to see personally. I just don't see Triple G moving up that far, or I don't see Kovalev moving that far down. It's hard for Kovalev to get down to a catchweight to fight Triple G, so I don't even see that. He's a big light heavyweight, And Triple G, Golovkin's not, I mean, he's a solid middleweight, he's a sizable middleweight, but if you move him up to 168, he's not going to be big. So to move him up to light heavyweight, that's a little different. You know, that seems a little different. But what I do see is I can see people calling out Kovalev, really calling out Kovalev now. Kovalev won the fight, and he did impressively, if it wasn't Kovalev, you'd be railing about it. You know, if it was a guy sort of Yardy's age, a guy that didn't go through as much, didn't achieve as much as Kovalev, we would be giving the guy all sorts of kudos and off the rails about him. But since it was Kovalev, and we know what he's capable of, he looked good until he looked bad, and when he looked bad, he looked awful. He looked extremely, extremely awful, uncomfortable, not durable. He looked like the and it's going to go back to this again. Body shots mean the world. Body shots mean the world, especially against an aggressive opponent. I mean, body shots will quell aggression. in Kovalev's case, I've seen it against Andre Wood, but against against Anthony Yard, if Anthony Yard had a little more experience, or actually if he had a little more lung capacity, because he was dead tired, uh-huh. he would have finished Kovalev. He would have finished Kovalev. Mm-hmm. When Yard got knocked down, he got knocked down by a shoving jab, almost like a defensive shoving jab. He didn't get up because he couldn't breathe. You see the guy
right.
just sitting up there, his chest just heaving, just like, you know what, I don't have anything anymore. And he couldn't even get oxygen to his legs. That was his problem. If he had a little more energy, he would have finished Kovalev. One thing about Kovalev is, as good as he is, he can't be on the inside at all. He can't be on the inside because there's too many chances of taking good shots on the inside, especially to the body. Kovalev is weak to the body. That's it. Kovalev is weak. We've seen it. He's weak to the body. So I mean the guy. If that's the book out on him to me, that's the book out. If you're gonna get Kovalev, get inside, work his body. He does not like that. He does not like being on the inside. He will show his uncomfortability. I've seen Anthony Yard punch him in the body and take his legs away. So I mean that.
You know the other thing, guys. Kovalev didn't do. He did so poorly against Andre Ward. Andre Ward was a small fighter. He's not a big light heavyweight. As a matter of fact, he wasn't fighting light heavyweight. So I don't think that the weight difference is going to be make a hell of a lot of difference in that fight. Because when you think about it, Triple B's done training, he's going to be as big as he'll be the same size as Andre Ward. And Andre Ward kicked his butt. So I don't think size is going to matter. I really thought it mattered when he signed up to fight the guy from Philly, and he won all 12 rounds. That's when he was a lot younger. But I don't think it's going to happen now. I don't think he's the same player. And I think this might be the night that he gets exposed. But, you know, and he goes hunting. He starts hunting more. And fighting less. You know?
I agree with you. I agree with you. And just to even go further, Andre Ward took something out of Kovalev. He has not been the same after that second Andre Ward fight. He seems a little less disciplined. Ty was actually talking to Ty while we were watching the fight. Ty actually brought up a good point that Kovalev, when he gets a little tired or as the fight goes on, his form unravels. He's not able to keep his distance like he normally is. He's not getting his hands back. He's throwing the same punches for the most part. Kovalev won that fight with his jab. He has one of the best jabs in boxing today. That's where I think Golovkin's going to have problems. That's exactly where I think Golovkin's going to have problems. I think with size, you're right, Dr. Chris, because with size, you have to lay your size on a person. To do that, you have to be there, almost skin to skin with the person, be willing to be on the inside to lay your size on them, like Jared Hurd does. He puts his size on a person. Kovalev is not trying to get that close to you to put his size on you. So his size comes in the form of power, of his punching power, where he'll hit you. You could block it, but, I mean, now, you know, maybe a round later, your arm is getting a little more sore. So, I mean, that's where his laying power on you means. Golovkin depends on a good jab to get where he wants to go. He has very, very steady feet. I've seen slower, and Golovkin's not fast in the feet. He has steady feet. If he's willing to take some of the contact to cut the ring off on Kovalev to get inside on him, then that's going to be it. I could see some problems with that with Kovalev. But Golovkin, I think, is too small. He's not going to be as effective, especially with power or takeability, once he moves up. And speed never was Golovkin's game, so that's not even going to be really an advantage with him. I think it's just a matter of if he's going to fight Kovalev, he has to cut the distance in all circumstances and make it a fight like that. Kovalev's not durable, so, I mean, if he's successful with that, then he can stop Kovalev.
Yeah, Kovalev likes to set his own pace. I don't think he's going to deal with Triple G. I think Triple G is going to be on him. But he knows that's the way he's got to win. He's got to get inside,
sure.
You know, like just do what Andre Ward did that second fight. That's all. And I just want to go home and watch that about 50 times, and he'll know what the hell to do. You know?
Sure.
And I think this is his last hurrah.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, let me ask you a question on another Bellator 225. Mitrione versus Gehart. Yeah, go ahead.
Sergey Kitanov.
Yeah, Kitanov.
Yeah, that was the fight. I mean, they were exchanging blows back and forth. I didn't get to see it, but the other fella, not Mitrione, was talking that Mitrione hit him in the nuts, and so he didn't recover fully from it, and blah, 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 and I don't know, excuses with the ball shots all the time. You know, I mean, I've been there and done that. It hurts. You got a cup on, but come on. You know, don't hide behind a nut shot, you know?
Mm-hmm. One thing I'm going to say, I heard that shot, and that shot, if you want to give him time, you give him time to recover. But that was a knockout nut shot. I mean,
right.
that was one of those.
I wouldn't see it, so I'll have to confer you.
But this fight that just happened between these two, Matt Mitrione has some of the best feet, moving feet out there. His knees do not bend. I mean, he has good range feet. His feet move. He moves in and out of distance very well. His knees don't bend, and it is something about his mouthpiece that was going on in the fight. And
I read something about that. Kept coming out.
Yeah, he lost his mouthpiece somehow.
Well, he kept losing his mouthpiece, and they were saying something about he had to get another mouthpiece. His mouthpiece was in the bag at the room or some however it went. So during the first round in the interval. His trainer was like, stop being distracted. Don't worry about the mouthpiece. It seemed that it didn't even matter. Sergey Kiritanov was more or less just kind of walking. He was kind of sort of outboxing Mitrione. I want to say sort of. But it just seemed like Mitrione kind of didn't have it. He had it. It looked like he had it, but he just kind of lost it. I think the mouthpiece kind of, I don't know if it was a distraction or an excuse. I can't say anything about that because I haven't known Mitrione to really make up excuses during a fight like that. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that maybe it was the mouthpiece. However it went, you do have to forget about that. It's not the mouthpiece's fault that you got knocked out.
Nope.
Simple as that. Simple as that. It's in your mouth. If it comes out of your mouth, you fight without it. You don't even think about it. You have to, you know what I mean? It's other more important things in front of you than the mouthpiece. Bite down on it. That's what you do. That's how you don't lose a mouthpiece. You bite down on it. Breathe through your nose and bite down on your mouthpiece, especially during the contact.
And if you're at that level and you forgot your good mouthpiece at home, I don't want to hear it. That's all you need. That's all you need.
If you're on that level and you can't, deal with another mouthpiece.
My wife was laughing at me the other day. I got a mouthpiece in every one of my backpacks. I got five different mouthpieces, five different backpacks, one for travel, one for every day, whatever. Because she's like, why are you carrying so many backpacks? You never know. You never know when you're going to need a mouthpiece.
They are so important that you can't imagine. And I made I must have made 1,000 in my lifetime. And I made
more money on my mouthpiece sales in my gym than I did any other piece of equipment because no one remembers to bring them.
Yeah. They used to make them where they had some suction. They fitted in between the teeth. They were made with rubber. It would be semi-hard. It wouldn't get real hard, but it would get in between your teeth and give you some suction.
Nice
the ones that are made without the without that other guy in Philly used to make him, Yank Durham, free, made him free for Fraser. But when you use that certain material, they will fly out of your mouth. And if you don't have a good mouthpiece, I mean, that to me, that they were vital. It was vital to have a good mouthpiece. I can't imagine. I guarded mine with my life because I counted on that thing. I used to get wrapped in a face pretty good, and I used to clench down on that thing, and you know, and then I'd try to get some when I was breathing. I could open my mouth and get some air in without losing a mouthpiece. That was the most important thing. I could, you know, get a little air in when the ref would come and break the clinch up and do all that. I could get some air in and I'd get some breath back. But the guy, you know, the guy should have had his best mouthpiece with him. That's really bad. That's really bad. So,
you want to keep your mouthpiece in regardless. If your mouthpiece doesn't fit in, I mean, your mouth is going to get cut up. The inside of your mouth, it just gets raw, tore up raw. Just because it's shifting all in your mouth, it's a foreign object shifting in your mouth. May not be very good teeth protection or even jaw protection a lot of times. The thing is, I mean, once you get that mouth, you have to work with what you got. If you don't have a mouthpiece, and you have to work. Once you're put in that position, it's do or die. Now it's best to prepare for be smarting about your equipment. Make you know as far as that goes, prepare and armor up properly at all times. But things happen. This is battle. Things happen. You know, things may go awry. You have to continue regardless. And you know, we have people who mostly everybody on the show is fought. So when you fight during the moments of contact, you know, people, you fight and then you separate. You may have a little quick breathing break if you're smart. Then you'll go ahead and during those moments of contact, you bite down on your mouthpiece. Okay, here we go. That's an almost, if you've been doing it long enough, it should be a natural instinct. That's my thought process.
Maybe I never got to that level where I could trust somebody else with my own gear, but like I knew from a very early age on, when you jump on a plane, go somewhere else, in your carry-on, you got your mouthpiece, your cup, your shorts, and your gloves. That's it. You don't trust anybody else. You bring your stuff with you.
Spartans don't. They don't lose their warrior. They don't lose their armor. They don't lose any of their warrior gear. So,
no.
Yeah. You're absolutely correct.
That's the one thing that goes in your carrier on. You don't even check that stuff in your baggage. You never leave that stuff. And your jump rope. You can't leave jump rope.
Hey, let me ask you a question about Joseph Parker and Derek Chisora are supposed to. They're in a contract negotiation for a fight in October. Chris, what do you think of that fight?
I haven't seen Parker for a while. Who was his last fight with?
I think it was. Jeez. He might have had a fight after Dylan White, didn't he?
Yeah.
Did he fight that? Is that who he fought? I think that guy's got a lot of talent, but he doesn't use it properly. I don't think he has a. He's too cautious for me to classify him as one of the best. He's too cautious. I thought he could have done a lot better in his fights if he'd have been, you know, throw some caution to the wind and really go after the guy and stop that damn ineffective method he used. I mean, he just you got to be tough and mean in that ring. You can't just be a pure counterpuncher and not make the fight at all. I'm not big on Parker. So, the other guy, I haven't seen him for a while either.
Chisora, he just got knocked out. He just got knocked out. Oh, my goodness. And I'm sitting up here trying to think of who. I just saw the fight. And it, Chisora was doing well, but, yeah. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to put it this way. Parker, I like Parker because he's a skillful guy. Parker is one of the more all-around boxing skillful guys in the heavyweight. Not the hardest hitter, but he is a skillful guy. And he probably has one of the better cardios in the heavyweight division. With that said, he is a guy who does not know how tough he is. He just doesn't know how tough he is. Parker is dog, rugged, tough. He just doesn't know it. And when you don't know how tough you are, you fight like you don't know how tough you are. He's not a high contact guy. And it's good to not be a high contact guy if you have those abilities, but there are some fights you have to step it up a level. You have to do more than you've done in previous fights. And with Parker, I kind of don't see that. I don't see that when it comes to the big stage, him doing anything different or him taking any other risk than he has in the past against lesser fighters. So with that said, he kind of doesn't – I don't know if he knows himself or if he's not willing to really go out there, put himself on the line for that. Because Parker's a tough guy who I think if he takes the fight – or in moments, maybe not all the time, but in moments, if he brings the fight to somebody, to certain opponents, then he could be more successful than he knows.
Hey, you it's almost a
lack of self-confidence. You know what I mean? He doesn't look like a confident, tough guy in a ring. He doesn't have
not against everyone.
No. He got the wrong attitude for a big guy like that, big heavyweight. With his talent and the opportunities he's been given, he should be going out there like a wild man, trying to knock somebody's head off, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's just not
Andy
him.
Ruiz. Like Andy Ruiz. He has a toughness. I mean, maybe more tough than Andy Ruiz. I don't know. He doesn't hit as hard, but he is, like, he's more physically gifted. And he's a smart fighter. It's just that you're a fighter. I mean, you're not a smart basketball player where you could take a risk and, you know, they steal the ball or they block a shot. You're a tough fighter where they're going to knock your head off. I mean, that's your risk. And, I mean, once you sign a contract, you're kind of committed to that risk. And as I say, he's tough. And, you know, as a fighter, you're going to take risks once you get in there. But he, as far as taking it to the winning potential against the upper echelon, I think he's capable. But, I mean, he has to think that. And I don't think he thinks that. Actions determine. Actions told me that.
Hey, you know, guys, in my book,
he's always going to be
I know our listeners have listened to Bob every week. And he is a contender. He is a champion on some. He's also working with some champions, some real champions, real-life champions. That Bob, why don't you tell our audience who you're working with at this point?
Well, as we know, like boxing and MMA doesn't have the best retirement. So moving out to the East Coast, I was a little broken after a motor vehicle accident. You know, and got the opportunity to work out at Walter Reed National Military Hospital. And in doing so, going from a patient, you know, I was all like, poor me, oh, I hurt, wada, wada, wada. They threw me down to some real life, real heroes, guys that don't fight for money or pride, but fight for our nation's freedom. You know what I mean? And come across wounded warriors. And, you know, I'm not supposed to advertise for it too much, but I just want to give a shout out to all of our military veterans. So recently for the past 3-4 months, and I'll continue for as long as I'm on the East Coast, that I get the opportunity to work with wounded warriors, guys that have been in war, guys that have gone through just whatever through the military system and not 100% physically fit anymore. And I'll tell you what, I would give my life for these guys, because working out to them is an inspiration to me, as well as, I mean, these guys show up. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that make excuses, time, money, or kids, why they don't work out, and these guys show up. And so I've had the privilege of doing that for, like, the last, like I said, 3-4 months. And I'm out on the East Coast for another 10 months, 11 months, and I'll continue doing that. And it's been just one of the biggest honors in my life.
It's wonderful.
See, you work with, on the other end, you work with some of the kids that are coming up. And how about giving us a plug for your gym?
Oh, my goodness. Well, in the day, we do the fight. I'm a trainer at the Fight Factory. And that's it. That is in Wilmington, Delaware. And during the day, we run a Fight to Work program. That is a youth employment program. We have 20 kids, and we send them out to the communities, different jobs, different job sites. And I have a job site at the gym, and actually our kids have been going out picking up trash. They've been actually cleaning up parts of the community, some parts of the community that really don't get that attention. And these kids, they're learning so much. During the afternoon to the night, I'm in the gym, training fighters, young, old, from 6 to 66. I'm in the gym training, I'm sparring, and we're just trying to build champions. We're trying to improve the youth in the city. City's very violent, and we're trying to give them another avenue to release that violence, and that's it. And then if they really, really, they're really into it, then they'll come in at night and they'll work further on it.
Mm-hmm. And tell us where the gym is. Tell us where it's located.
The gym is in Wilmington, Delaware, 340 Robinson Lane. It is in the industrial park behind the Wilmington Fleet Market, off of Maryland Avenue.
Okay. You got that, Bob?
I got that.
Okay.
All right, I'm there. I am there from usually 3:30 to 8:30, maybe 9, every day.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a day I'm not there, it'll be on a Friday. So.
Good. I know Bob wanted to get that information.
Don't be surprised if I don't show up.
Please do. Please do.
Okay.
That's
well,
a lot of effort. You're putting a lot of effort.
Yes,
out.
It is.
You keep it
let
up. You might catch up to Joe Tiberi someday. Joe must have 50,000 hours,
Chris,
in the gym.
I've known Zito for 35 years. Ever since he was a little tight. And talk about somebody who's overcome obstacles. Somebody who's dedicated to something. This guy has come so far that, you know, you wouldn't believe the man that he is today was the kid that he was when he was a child. He not only is he a professional in and out of the ring, he's also a mentor in the community. And it's something that I've always been proud to say that he's part of our extended family.
Thank you very much. Got it from you and my father. So,
Coach Mel was one of the greatest guys that ever walked. He never didn't have time to talk to somebody. Didn't have time to have some simple words to bring a kid back from being up on the walls. I've seen him. My son had ADHD and was having problems at school. And Coach Mel took him under his arm when he was when playing basketball for him, and had three words to say to him. And from that point on, we had no problems. I that's the way Coach Mel was. He was able to diagnose things and just get to teach everybody. But guys, we're up against our time limit here. Bob, love having you on every week. You do a great job. I love the background you do before the show. And Chris, it's always great to have you on.
I guess we've known each other now over 50 years, if not more. Even back to when you were nice enough to let me suffer while I was trying to play golf and tearing up the courses. But
that's a long time ago, Frank. Holy cow.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. Wow.
I still have pictures
tried to make
of you,
golf
Ronnie,
around
and
with Ronnie Repressy.
Yep. Yep, you, Ronnie, and I at the Mayor's tournament at out of Concord, and
Charlie.
We had
you know I used to get a kick out on Frank, the guy that did body and friendly work, Rinaldi. You remember?
Yeah, Roger.
Yeah. Oh Christ, he was funny. He was funny.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun. They were fun. They were fun days when we used to play to the
they were.
Know, play those
actually,
tournaments at Radley
Roger
Brown
and
Hall.
Roger and I went to St. James together, and Ronnie and I went to St. Joe's together.
Wow.
So it was fun
to get
all them together.
Roger the thrasher. He thrashed the ball. I don't know what the hell. I don't know how to describe his swing. But he was funny. We did have a good time. Now you're making me feel old, Frank. Holy Christ. All right, guys.
That's
I got to run.
All right, take care,
guys. All right, talk to you next week. Bye now.
I'm standing up, too, and I just want to throw it out there. Armstead, as soon as you get that house remodeled, bro, Zito's only 2 hours away. I just Googled it.
Great.
Yeah, so it's only a 2-hour drive.
Good deal.
All right, thanks, guys. I'll see you next week.
Thanks, bud.
Take it easy.
Z, you want to lead us out?
Sure. Do another wonderful show. Another wonderful show. I want to thank Bob, Dr. Chris. I know I think Armstead was out here. Thank him, too. I want to thank all my Fighting Words family. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob and Coach Mel. And if anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call.
Hey. Well, I want to again thank you for everything you do. I know you do it's really a tough thing for you to be able to get on with us each week, and we really appreciate it. You lead so much to the show, you and Ty. I want to thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and see somebody in uniform, please acknowledge them. It's very tough times, both domestically and in foreign lands. We just lost, this last week, we lost another 7 police officers. It's a very tough one on the profession. These programs are dedicated to those who lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman Jeffrey Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcat, Sergeant Thomas Fatinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazman, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Handler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arthur Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogan, Longwood County Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Rodney Bond, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Ardith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FDLEA Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Boward, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Islands County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Sheriff's Department, Officer Robert McKechnie, the Lexington, Kentucky Police Department. My brothers and sisters, though you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time will be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the rain fall softly on your fields. The sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hands. Good night, God bless, and have a great week.
Shema Ezahir Ma Son Hashem Nevorat Fet Hakuig Again Ma Ezahir Ma
Okay, bud. We love you and we miss you.